With you, and I wonder if you'd like to just close your eyes for a minute. This is a story that I heard some time ago in an Anglican parish church, and I just want you to picture the scene of a beautiful sunny day outside, and a church service is taking place. And at the front of this church is the vicar, and he's dressed in his Anglican robes. And some of you might be able to picture that. Normally they will wear a nice white cassock. And outside in the sunshine are some children playing in the vicarage garden. And all of a sudden what can be heard very clearly in the church is the sound of a young child crying. And what's happened is they've fallen over. They've been playing in the garden and they've suddenly fallen into some mud. And this child, it can be a boy or a girl, has grazed their knee and it's bleeding. And this child is actually the son or the daughter of the vicar. And suddenly there's a tremendous bang at the back of the church. The door is flung open and this young child, maybe 3 or 4 years old, goes running straight to the front of the church, grabs hold of Daddy in all his white robes, and just snuggles up to Dad with this bleeding knee and telling him all about what's just happened, how he or she is hurt. And Dad comforts the child. He's not worried about his white robe. He just comforts the child, tells them that it's all right, that Daddy will make it better, maybe kisses the knee, wipes away the blood, makes them feel safe. The child gets up and runs out again. And I believe that's a picture for each one of us. But that's the freedom that we have in Christ as a son or daughter of God to approach our holy God. But I just wonder today if there's people here who might actually be standing outside the shut door. And maybe you don't feel that you can open that door. Maybe you're not sure that you can run in and disturb this person at the front. Actually, the dirt that you've got on you, you can't transfer to the person in the front who is so white and pure and holy. I believe the Lord is just saying, come freely. Each one of us can approach that throne of God confident in all that Christ has done for us.
Reading is from Revelation chapter 21, and I'm reading from the New Century Version. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had disappeared, and there was no sea anymore. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It was prepared like a bride dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now God's presence is with people, and he will live with them. And they will be his people. God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, sadness, crying or pain, because all the old ways are gone." The one who was sitting on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this, because these words are true and can be trusted. The one on the throne said to me, "It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give free water from the spring of life to anyone who is thirsty. Those who win the victory will receive this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children."
Morning, family. Thanks for all the contributions, the worshipful contributions. Really taken by that story of Diane's. Life is really a series of thresholds. And you yourself may have been in that place where, but, you know, for a few seconds different or different priorities or whatever it is, you might be in a completely different place and you may have missed out on something that you've got now, or you may regret having missed out on something. And it's these fine thresholds. And faith is one of those thresholds. And sometimes the Holy Spirit is obvious and just draws us in. Other times it's less obvious. And because God gives us free will, he allows us to sort of work through things. And because of our humanity, sometimes we don't work through the things that we should be working through. I just pray that if there's any sense that you're standing at a threshold this morning, that I just really kind of endorse what Diane was saying, that our God is a great God, and the picture we have of our God is a cross, of course. But what is also helpful is the God with the hands out and the God that says come. This morning we're going to be looking at that particular reading from Revelation. We're going to be thinking about heaven. And that's a threshold. It begins now and it goes way over there. But there's always a starting point. There's always a joining point. And I just pray that if any of you have that sense of being at a threshold in your life, whatever it is, that you would just allow the Holy Spirit this morning just to work in your life, that you might be confident that with his help, you're making that right decisions, and you're not standing on a place of pride, you're not standing in a place of regret, but you're standing in a place where you may respond to the kind of response that you need to make. There were three men who died and went to heaven. And before God would let them in, he gave them one last chance to go back as anything that they wanted. And the first guy said, "I want to come back as myself, but I want to be 100 times smarter." So God allowed him to be 100 times smarter and sent him back. Then the second man says, "I want to be even smarter than that other guy. I want to be 1,000 times smarter." And God said, "Okay, you can become 1,000 times smarter." And he sent him back into the world. And the third guy came along and said, I want to be so much better than the others. I want to be 1,000,000 times smarter." And so God turned him into a woman. God's not in the business of sending people back. We have some interesting tales, but God's word tells us that he doesn't send us back for a trial period. That's not a credible option. What is a credible option is to read Revelation 21, where we have this picture of something that is real, something that is possible, something that is truly a promise of God. It helps us just to focus. It's not that we're expecting to reach the pearly gates or whatever picture we've got in our minds tomorrow, but it just helps us focus on the goal of all that lies ahead of us. Revelation 21 is one of the great chapters in the Bible that helps us go on this journey just to explore a little bit about that end time and the what heaven is about. And I think it helps us enormously because it helps us understand more of our short time on earth. Because I think if we've just got this picture that earth is this set of years that we've got, and we put a wall around it and we say that's me or that's us, then we're totally missing the point of God's kingdom. Because God wants to spend eternity. And what we have in Revelation 21 is a sense of both continuity and discontinuity. It's continuous in the sense that it's the fulfillment of all that Jesus promised, that there would be a new heaven and a new earth. But it's also discontinuous in the sense that it's a new heaven and a new earth. So it won't be the same. Life will begin all over again, not discounting what's gone before, but because of that expression, the new heaven and the new earth, there is also a sense that life will begin all over again. In fact, the continuity goes back right into the Old Testament. In a few minutes, we'll sort of look right back at Genesis, but a couple of passages that have echoes of Revelation 21 are Isaiah 65, where Isaiah prophesied, "Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind." And 2 Peter says, "The Lord is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness." So John the Divine is really building on what has already gone before in terms of talking about the new heaven and the new earth. It's a kind of a forerunner to verse 1 of chapter 21. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." The conclusion is fairly simple and straightforward, and that is God keeps his promises. That's a promise of God that one day we will get to that place by faith. So when God says that he does in verse 6, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the water of life." There is some sense of certainty about the consummation of history and humanity. God is the beginning and the end. Nothing is outside of his control. When God talks about death, heaven, and the end of things, it's part of his divine will. When God promises an inextinguishable supply of water or spiritual life, then it's a promise that is made for all eternity. If you look through the book of Revelation, you'll see so many different promises that are in the various chapters, and on the screen are some of those. In the picture language that is part of the Apocalypse, the book of Revelation, we see that the promises that we might eat from the tree of life. Remember how Adam and Eve were banned? We're told that in heaven we'll all be eating from the tree of life. We will escape what is called the second death. There will be authority over the nations. Our names will be written in the book of life. It's not an entrance ticket, but it's just a record that we will one day be in heaven with the risen Savior. We're told that we'll be pillars in God's spiritual temple. That might not sound too exciting, but I think it's metaphorical. And we'll be sharing Christ's throne. Some of the promises that we find about heaven in the book of Revelation. Sometimes we read these things and, okay, the pictures are not routine pictures that we have in everyday life. But sometimes there's a sense in which we skim through these pages and we see these promises and we could almost be reading the phone directory. These are promises of the living God. These are our promises that one day we will be with him in heaven. You are not a scientific or a genetic mistake. Sometimes we kind of pick up this this driftwood that kind of hints that we're not all that we make out to be and that somehow it's been a mistake that we've been created to be how we are or the situations that we're in. It is no mistake. It has all been part of God's development, all part of the great plan of salvation. And if we can't get excited about being with the risen Jesus in heaven, what can we get excited about? And if we can't get excited about it, then we're not telling other people because our excitement's not bubbling out. And I know you can't bubble all the times, but please this week, will you have an odd bubble for me? And just let it out, you know. Stop being so British, those of you who are British. Just give way to your feelings and let it bubble out. And if you're in the middle of the street or the supermarket and you start chuckling to yourself and someone says, "Are you all right?" Just say, "I've been promised a place in heaven." Now, they might call the white coats in, but hopefully it might lead to some kind of conversation. Another promise that's evident in Revelation 21 is that God will always be with us. Verses 2 and 3. "I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, with people, and he will live with them.'" We talk about being lifted up to God. But here's a very definite promise that one day God will come down to us on the earth and be with us, take him to himself forever. And one day, you know, we've got to change our address, don't you? We're going to 2 Quebec Close, Eastbourne. But one day we're going to have to change address again because it's going to say, "Mr. and Mrs. Rouse, the new heaven and the new earth." Because I believe that is our future, and it's your future too. Another promise that has its roots in the creation of humanity is the promise that God will complete his plan of salvation. In verse 6, before we read those words that we just referred to, it says quite simply, "It is done." What the NIV says, "It is done." All that we ever hoped for, all the belief that we had in God's forgiveness, all the dreams and the pictures that we have about heaven, all the fears that we're not good enough to be in heaven, are transformed into this picture of the new heaven and the new earth, and the picture of our complete salvation. And that salvation began right back in the book of Genesis. And humanity has been on an awful long journey and will continue along that journey until Jesus returns. But it's very telling to see the language of Genesis and the language of Revelation put side by side. In the book of Genesis, the sun was created. But in the book of Revelation, the sun's not even needed. In the book of Generations, Satan wins out, firstly through the temptations of Eve and Adam. But in the book of Revelation, Satan has lost or will lose his battle. In the book of Genesis, sin enters, but in Revelation, sin is banished. People hide behind trees and things in the book of Genesis. in Revelation, people live. In Genesis, there is the curse. But in Revelation, that curse is removed. There are tears in Genesis. But we're promised in Revelation 21 that there will be no more tears one day. Earth is cursed in the first book of the Bible. In the last book, there is a new earth that is promised for us. In Genesis, there's no fruit for a time. Revelation talks about the tree of life. In Genesis, paradise is lost through sin. But in Revelation, it's regained. And in Genesis, I'm in trouble this morning. In Genesis, there is death. But the great promise of the book of Revelation is that death is defeated. That is a picture of how God will restore broken humanity, broken earth, taking it back to the place where it was always intended to be, in the Garden of Eden. So finally, what can we learn about heaven from Revelation 21? Don't you love some of the things that come out of children's mouths? I picked up some of these about heaven. One girl said, "God's so neat, and heaven's supposed to be so great. Could me and Jenny go over there for a sleepover on Saturday?" Another child said, "I know what heaven is like because I was there. God makes people when he thinks of them, and then they wait to be born." That is so profound. That is so insightful from a child, that heaven is our home and it always starts. We all often talk about going to heaven, but actually as citizens of heaven, it's heaven that is our original home. So the profundity of that child is absolutely amazing. 4-year-old Jenny asked, "Does heaven have a floor?" She looked up at the sky and clouds and continued, "Well, I can't see any floor, so I guess people are just up there on coat hangers." Hope not. One more. 9-year-old Heather was told that in heaven she would have a glorified body. She asked, "Do you think I'll look like Barbie?" Let's look at Revelation 21, which is slightly more reliable. verse 1, we see that it is a new place. We're not talking about putting sticking plaster over the earth. We're talking about something that is totally new. It's an imperfect world that becomes a perfect world. It is a new heaven and a new earth. Verse 2, it's a loving, intimate place. The new Jerusalem is prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Picture of the bride is a very intimate picture, is it not? Yes. verse 2, heaven is a holy place, a holy city characterized by God being in that place, abiding in that place, where there is no evil, verses 4 and 8 tell us. And the glory of God is there, which comes up just a few verses after the reading that we had. Verse 4 tells us that it's a place of community, God dwelling with humanity, but it actually also refers to being with them. And when it talks about with them, it's talking about the nations. And that comes out again later on in the chapter in verse 24. So there's this broad aspect of community in heaven. Verse 4 also says it's a place of joy. Every tear will be wiped away. There will be worship and the sharing of the glory of God. And also in verse 4, we learn that it's a place of peace. No more wars, no more pain, no more sadness. And later on, verse 27 says, nothing impure will enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful. A place of peace, of integrity. This is a vision. This is a vision of John the Divine. It's a vision that is full of truth because it's in God's word and that makes it true. And this is a vision of what God is promising each and every believer, every follower of Jesus. And just to conclude, I just want to sort of ask the basic questions that need to be asked at this time. And the first one is, are you ready? Not that you're looking to depart those that you love at this time, although we never know. But there's a sense of which of living now with Jesus makes us ready for whatever happens. Are you ready? Second question is, will you have regrets? Obviously, looking forward to heaven with all the images, all the positivity, all the joy, all the essence of Jesus is in that place. You leave behind what you leave behind. Have you left behind now in preparation for that time when you will be one with him? Have you totally left behind any regrets that you may have had? God doesn't want you to carry regrets. You, like me, may have made mistakes in the past, but it's dealt with. It's dealt with partly by the cross and partly by our faith in just subsuming all the sacrifice of Jesus into our own lives, knowing that forgiveness has already taken place. But too often we hang on to things that we shouldn't be hanging on to. Don't hang on to guilts or regrets, almost irrespective of the future with Jesus. Just deal with whatever you need to deal with. And if there's still things today that you think, I've never really worked through that, then come and sit with the prayer ministry team. And that hopefully will also be part of helping you along your own personal journey. A third question is, do you still need to put your life and your relationships in order? Are there some loose edges in your relationships with some people? And there may be reasons why you've not got a good relationship, but have you practiced grace in that relationship? Are there things that still need sorting? Not because we're expecting the rapture tomorrow, but you never know. But more so, because God is asking you to be shackle free, asking you to receive his grace, asking you to receive his love, asking you to receive his card that says, one day I'm moving to a new address, the new heaven and the new earth. And one final question. Are you certain that your name is written in the book of life? Are you certain that you're on the invitation list? Now, the biggest problem will be if you don't know that actually you're on the list. But some people think, it can't be me. I am not worthy. I have done things in the past. I can't possibly be on the invitation list. And all you need to do is work through that, because you need to hear the promise of God that there is nothing that can separate you. All we need to do is to repent, to receive, and to prepare to be with God forever. They're basic questions, friends, but they need to be asked because they matter. and they matter today as at any other time. Let's pray. Father, we've got our own pictures of heaven. And for some of us, it's possibly even a distant, unlikely proposition. But hopefully through your word and the encouragement of fellow worshippers, believers, we realize that all things are possible through Christ. But I just pray, Lord, that we have that inner peace, the faith to commit and that inner peace to know that we are called, loved by you, and that you already have a place for us in the future. But Lord, if there are things that we're not sure about, then please give us that encouragement, that peace, to talk through it, to pray through it. And for most of us, Lord, I just pray that the worship that we've shared this morning will just be indicative of how grateful we are, how amazed we are that you have called us and brought us to be your people and cemented a relationship with us that runs forever. So to you, all praise and all glory in Jesus' name.